Welcome to Zion. Thank you for that beautiful music, Kristen and Karen, to open our worship time together. Come in if you're in the back. Come on in, and there's lots of room up front for seats. There's lots of places up front to sit this morning. If you're a visitor here this morning, we welcome you. And we invite you to take the card in the pew in front of you and fill that out. We would like to have record of your time and presence with us this morning. You know, I'm not a parent of a school child, but can you believe that this is the last week of school? Where did the time go? And we're looking forward to this service of taking time to acknowledge our graduating seniors and those that have graduated from college, and also to have a time to bless them and pray for them as they look to the future and the possibilities that God can provide. So let's take a few moments to stand and greet one another. If you have an announcement, please come forward for announcements.
I want to bring to your attention an announcement that is posted back by the water cooler on the Mennonite Disaster Service bulletin board. We have an opportunity for service up in Region 4, and this is for building two houses for for the survivors of the summer 2014 wildfires in north central Washington. The disaster is the Carlton Complex fires, largest in the Washington state history. The fire destroyed more than 200 homes and ravaged the small town of Pateros, which is near Brewster, Washington, which is about 50 miles northeast of Wenatchee, Washington. Many homes were destroyed and power was cut off for days. What's needed are carpenters, painters, interior finishers. We have something for everyone. We need cooks. And I'm not going to go into the details, but the notice on the bulletin board lists open dates from June 1st up through July 10th and then beyond July 20th. And they're also looking for possible weekend volunteers. The contact person is Kevin Fries from Washington. And if this is something that you would like to do, and you have the time and you have the means to do it, look at the bulletin board. I don't have any additional information other than what's posted at this point. What they're wanting to do is to start doing siding on these houses tomorrow.
I need to just make a little amendment to the announcement for the Abba's Child book, the Sunday School. It says it's going to start June 7th. I was wrong. It needs to start June 14th. So if you want to do that, if you want to be a part of that Sunday School, please come and tell me so we can go ahead and order books. If you don't tell me by today, you can just order your own book and that's fine. But we're going to just order a group of books all at once. So if you want to be a part of that, let me know.
I want to talk a little bit about the sermon this morning before our call to worship, because we're going to be hearing the story of two women, two ordinary women that did not carry public roles in the Bible, but who God worked through and who through miraculous things were able to conceive and carry two heroes in the Bible. And those heroes would be John the Baptist and Jesus. And it's interesting the way God always flips things in how we think that the Messiah should come, how we think the reign of God should happen. It's flipped. And it's done in ways that we least expect. So I hope and I pray that this message this morning can touch you and speak to you as we look at the lives of Mary and the lives of Elizabeth. God's surprises and God's purposes fulfilled. I invite you to stand as we read our call to worship. You can see that there's men reading and then women, and then we'll remain standing for our first opening hymn. So let's begin together, men. Praise the Lord.
Praise the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Blessed is the name
of the Lord from this time on and forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, far down on the heavens and the earth?
He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit princes with the princes of his people.
He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord.
God, Emmanuel with us, we wait expectantly for your coming to us this morning. especially in the story of Elizabeth and Mary. We come with joy at the news that they will share, and we are moved by your Spirit. Do not let us forget the faces of these two women as we witness your Spirit in the light of their faces. May we also see in the faces of those around us reflections of your blessings, that you have come, that you live within us and among us. Amen. Please remain standing.
Number 16 in Hymnal Worship Book. God is here among us. Number 37, Praise to the Lord.
Thank you.
And now number 46, I sing the mighty power of God.
I sing the mighty power of God.
Is number 51, let the whole creation cry.
Would the ushers please come forward for this morning's offering. Let's pray together. Lord, giver of life, Eternal God, we thank you for these gifts. We ask that you would use them to bring great glory to your name. For you and you alone do we give these gifts. Amen. You to follow along with me on the screen or in your Bible. I will be reading from Luke 1, verses 39 to 45. This is the NIV translation. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." The word of the Lord.
Please pray with me while I put in a spiritual 911 up to heaven, because I'll be talking about pregnancy this morning. As you can see, that never has and never will happen to me. I will not be talking from direct experience. I did consult a bit with my wife, however. Let's pray. Dear Lord, that what is of you in this message will be like seeds bearing fruit in our lives to come. And what is not, let it go. Amen. Why me? I asked myself as I walked down the street of our inner city neighborhood 2 years ago in Southside Minneapolis. As I approached my car, I could see the telltale pile of broken glass on the ground right next to the passenger side window, the door, and that sort of blank, black, empty space where the passenger side window should have been, telling me that for the third time in 2 years, Someone had broken into my old Saturn. And all this time, I thought my car was protected by old age, rust, and hail damage. This time, there was not even any radio CD player to take like what they had stolen the previous two times. I had the kind of sound system thingamabob that you could just sort of pop out and take with you whenever you park the car, so that anyone looking into it would see only wires sticking out where a CD player or a GPS unit would have been. But this particular thief, whoever he or she was, obviously thought, well, maybe he put the sound system in the glove compartment, because the contents of the glove compartment were strewn so violently about the car as though he was angry at not finding anything of value in it. Or wasn't it usually this messy? Why me? Again, I wondered as I put the papers and the CDs back into the glove compartment. And as I did so, it struck me that the thief and I at least had this in common. We are both joy junkies. We're both joy junkies. And my choice of music CDs that I was putting back into the glove compartment certainly showed that. Bach cantatas and mariachi music. Hey, don't laugh. And as for the thief, it's no secret that there is a direct correlation between the price of street drugs and the rate of car break-ins. Drug addicts steal and pawn things like sound systems or GPS units in order to buy heroin, meth, or crack cocaine in a quest for joy. But if the stories that I heard sitting in on Narcotics Anonymous meetings are true, then those street drugs only started by promising and then just delivering just enough of a joy-like substitute, rather more like a high, an emotional high, or a tingling neural exhilaration, something just close enough to joy to be confused for the real thing, to keep you coming back for more. But after a few times of lighting up or shooting up, these drugs then become ruthless, relentless taskmasters, driving the addict on a constant, fearful quest to buy even more, even while they take away your ability to get a job and to hold a job down. And then you're driven to steal, not so much in a search for joy, because it hasn't kept its promise of that, but for fear of withdrawal. And most addictions, whether to street drugs, alcohol, sex, money, they start out as a quest for something that we just know deep down that we were made for, that we can't live without, but for which there are so many dangerous and deceptive counterfeits and substitutes, and that again is joy. To be human then is to be a joy junkie. And that brings me to the first question in the outline. What is joy? What is this all-important driving motivation that sends people on lifelong quests, making tremendous sacrifices of time, effort, energy, treasure, even of their lives? And to answer that question, I'd rather start with a picture. We could project it right now. Now, I first ran across this picture where I used to go for spiritual direction, and it's called the Windsock Visitation. And the artist is Michael O'Neill McGrath. And I got his gracious permission over the phone a few years back to portray his work. It also helped that I had bought a copy of it. And to be fair, I'll put in a commercial announcement about it in just a moment. And it's a picture of the encounter in the Bible that we just heard about of Mary with her older cousin Elizabeth when they were both pregnant. Mary with Jesus, of course, and Elizabeth with John the Baptist. And their joyful encounter that you see pictured here is called the Visitation. And by the way, if you're wondering, isn't this a Christmas or season or Advent kind of story? Well, if the church calendar celebrates the birth of Jesus towards the end of December, then when in the church calendar would we celebrate the time that Mary knows that she is pregnant and that maybe better make herself scarce around Nazareth and go visit her sister in Judah, or her cousin, I mean, Elizabeth? Wouldn't that be right about now in the church calendar year? And by visitation is not meant just exactly the same as what pastors and elders do when, say, you're in the hospital or in a nursing home, although I would hope that those would also be joyful, spirit-filled encounters. And nor is meant what a certain pastor had in mind when he gave that name to his boat, so that when someone called home to ask, is the pastor in, his wife could say, no, he's out on visitation. I guess you're warned already if I should ever try that. No, this is about the visitation of one person to another. Good. Yeah, I want the picture up for a little while longer. No, actually, I was wrong. This is about the visitation of five people to each other. And who are the five people? Well, see, there's Mary, there's Elizabeth. And to better capture their joy, you noticed how the author has dressed them in beautiful, colorful African-style clothing as Africans. But who are the other three? Well, Mary and Elizabeth are each carrying a baby, so we can add Jesus and John the Baptist. That's four. So who's number five? Well, look to your left of the picture behind Mary, or is it Elizabeth? I think it's Mary. And no, that is not a giant red squid attacking Mary. It's a windsock, like what you'll find at an airport. And so the name of this painting, The Windsock Visitation. And to have its banners fluttering out like that, the windsock must be full of wind. And in both biblical languages, the Hebrew and the Greek, the word for spirit and wind is the same word. And so the full windsock that you see in this picture is a symbol for God, the Holy Spirit. So the five characters in this joy-filled encounter we call the visitation are Mary, Elizabeth, Jesus, John the Baptist, and God. Okay, we can put the picture down now and take it off. So for there to be joy, by which I mean real joy, not the cheap counterfeits, there must also be God. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we read in the scriptures. And in Isaiah 11, we read of the Holy Spirit as a spirit of delight. He will delight in the fear or the reverence of God. So God's joy or delight is not just an indiscriminate joy all the time over anything and everything, but a delight over everything that is good and of God. The Bible begins with God's expression of delight and joy with every stage of creation. Every time we read in Genesis 1 that God says, it is good. It is good. And most simply then, joy is an attribute of God. Joy is God's delight in godness and in goodness. This attribute of God then flows over to touch and to bless all of God's creation, including humans, especially humans who bear God's image. But when I see our cat running around in the house chasing after things, I wonder, is that God's joy just spilling over into other parts of creation too? I don't know. If joy then is an attribute of God, then we experience joy the closer that we draw towards God and as God draws near and touches us, like a spark of electricity arcing between two wires. And joy doesn't always have to feel just like what Elizabeth always immediately or evidently felt when something, the baby just leapt up for her in joy. And I imagine her as having one of those face on your hands, doubled over your waist, feet dancing, a warm whoop-it-up whoosh going up from your belly through the throat and coming out her crying eyes, sort of a breathless yet screaming kind of joy. Sometimes joy is more like a tingle up the spine, and a catch in your throat, and a moistening of the eyes. Or it may sometimes even be just sort of a surprising strength, a peace and a confidence that just sustains us in times that you would expect nothing like that, circumstances that you'd expect anything else but joy. And then we know the truth of what Moses said when he said to Israel that the Lord God is your refuge and underneath you are his everlasting arms. And those are all different experiences of that same thing, the joy of the Lord that is our strength. So whatever the experience or the intensity, joy is different from being just amused or entertained or humored, happy, pleasured, interested, aroused, or excited by something that may or may not have much at all to do with God. You know, like when your favorite team wins the World Series, that is fun, that is good. But joy is above all these things because it speaks to us of something timeless, not momentary and passing. Something infinite and everlasting, even something that awakens in us this poignant and powerful sense of longing for something different and yet strangely familiar, ever new and yet from before time. So maybe it's true, that story that I've heard a couple of times about the little girl, she was about 3 or 4 years old, who first met her newborn baby brother when mom and dad came home from the hospital with him. And after they placed the sleeping, or the young infant in the crib, the little girl asked mom and dad if they could just step out and leave her alone for a minute with her newborn baby brother. So they stepped out of the crib room, but they stayed close enough to the door to hear the little girl say to her newborn brother, "Quick, tell me about God. I'm starting to forget." And if that baby could have spoken and said something, I don't think she could have contained her joy. So again, joy is an attribute, a quality, or a character trait of God that, like an electrical current, can sort of surge and spark joy in us too. And that surge of joy can become all the more powerful, like when it becomes like a direct current that loops from one person to another and back. And that's what happened when Mary came to Elizabeth. And that which was of God in one woman connected with that which was of God in the other and awoke it and stirred it up. And that's why joy grows with the sharing. You know, it can be joyful enough to watch a beautiful sunset or hear a favorite song by ourselves. But then isn't there something about sharing those joys with someone and then having them say back to you, "Yes, that is an amazing sunset," or, "Whoa, yeah, that is a beautiful song. Thank you for sharing it with me." Something about that even increases our joy. And isn't that what we're doing here in worship as well? That of God in us, the Holy Spirit, nudging and bringing us here together so that there's this wonderful synergy, a multiplier effect. God, the Holy Spirit in you increases my capacity to host and to bear and to be aware of the Holy Spirit in me. And in a way, that makes all of us, and each and every one of us here, pregnant. Like Mary and Elizabeth. Spiritually pregnant, we might say. Through the Holy Spirit, we are all bearing within us, men and women, something, a foretaste growing of our God-filled futures, a future which will be nothing but joy in the direct and unmediated presence of God. We are even bearing within us something of the joyous, spirit-filled, God-promised future of all creation. Mary and Elizabeth then are models of us, for us, of the God-bearing life. And that's already putting me into the second question. What is this God-bearing life? Especially since, truth be told, God bears us and God bears with us a lot more than we bear God. And yet Mary's pregnancy and that of Elizabeth also tell us so much about life in the Spirit, or life of the Spirit in us. It tells us something too about our vision statement here at Zion about the value of discipleship. It tells us much that is an important reminder, and I'll make that sometimes even a correction, maybe even a rebuke to our modern Western way of thinking. Our corporate-driven world prizes power projection over persons. It prizes command and control over character, organization over organisms. It rewards what we achieve over who we become. But the Holy Spirit seems to work in ways that remind me more of pregnancy and childbirth, because it's God in charge, not us. And God's work always begins and ends and continues with love. The Spirit's work starts and stirs and grows within us like a developing baby, and then emerges in us and through us. And usually we become aware of the Spirit's work through inner movements of the soul, attractions toward joy, rather than simply our predicting steps and timetables to construct and perfect something. And these movements of the Spirit within us do not control us or make robots of us, but they do give us important directions, valuable suggestions and hints, movements towards the future. And that's why the Christian author Friedrich Buechner could say, "Where our deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger, that is our calling." I'll say that again. Where our deep gladness, our joy, connects with the world's deep hunger or needs, that's our calling. So rather than being controlled by us, the Spirit and His work are contained within us, but not for long. Not for long at all. Like a child being born, the Spirit's work emerges, often with something like labor pains. Just ask anyone in ministry or mission or dealing with other people's needs on a long-term basis. If we had known how hard and costly this work of God would be, we would probably never have signed up. But if we had known how rewarding this would be and how grateful we would feel, we would have signed up earlier. And like pregnancy, the God-bearing life is an awkward stage of life that even requires learning a new way to walk, while we bear within us sort of a growing, emerging world that neither we nor the society around us can see or understand. And this awkwardness contains a mix of grief and gratitude. Grief over the loss of comforts, convenience, convention, conformity to the world, but also gratitude. Gratitude for the privilege of being partners with God, even in our innermost beings. And so we go from lamenting, "Why me?" as in the pains of labor, to "Why me?" in the joys of new life, as Elizabeth meant when she asked, "Why am I so blessed?" You know, a beautiful example of the God-bearing life you can find in a big, clunky old house in North Minneapolis, where a bright red windsock actually flies on the front porch several hours a day, and all the children and youth in that neighborhood know what it means. Theirs is a neighborhood worse even than the one that we lived in south of downtown Minneapolis. On the north side, children there know the sound of automatic handgun fire can not only tell you what kind of handgun it was, but if there are any bullets left in the chamber. That house belongs to a chapter of the Visitation Sisters, an order of Catholic nuns. And whenever they put that bright red windsock on the front porch, it tells the children and the youth in the neighborhood that they can come in now for games, conversation, counseling, a sympathetic ear, a hug, cookies, after-school tutoring, and safety from the drug and gang wars on the street. The artist, Michael O'Neill McGrath, was so taken with these sisters and their ministry that for every purchase of the windsock visitation, all the proceeds go to the sisters' household in North Minneapolis. And you can find it online. And remember, there are only 207 shopping days left till Christmas. So how then do we live the God-bearing life, like those sisters and that artist are doing? Elizabeth said it best when she said to her cousin Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed. Blessed is she who has believed that what God has said to her, God will accomplish." That's the gospel this morning. That's the good news. Blessed are any and all who trust God to do for them and in them and through them all that God promises in His word. So the God-bearing life starts with faith working through love, or faith in God responding to God's love. That faith, however, has to be practiced and developed over time, sometimes at great cost. Both Mary and Elizabeth had to pay high prices and exercise much patience to bear and to bring into this world that which is of God in them. and so did their husbands, Joseph and Zacharias. By steady, lifelong faithfulness, we do not create joy. We do not earn joy. We put ourselves in the path of joy as joy comes looking for us. As joy came looking for Elizabeth through Mary and Jesus, whom she bore in her womb. Our graduates today, whom we'll be honoring in just a moment, can also attest to the importance of patience and putting in your time in order to be there when the gifts and the graces come our way. But they also learn that true joys require delaying some gratifications and avoiding those traps and pitfalls of the cheap counterfeit joy substitutes. So don't follow the world's latest frenzied fads in quest of joy-like substitutes. Don't fall for the latest false promise of cheap and counterfeit joy. And because the Spirit is in charge of the God-bearing life and not we can only be willing, open, willing, and waiting as the Spirit does his work in us and through us. More than that, I dare not say. Drug pushers and pornographers try to sell us foolproof automatic products and programs and shortcuts to find joy, and they're lying. Like they say in AA, every shortcut leads to a dead end. Joy, rather, is a gift. It can't be manufactured, controlled, or earned. In our crazy, chaotic, and conflicted world, with all that we're up against and all that we must overcome and endure, you know, it's really surprising how much joy there already is for all. Joy through love, joy through family, friendship, nature, art, beauty. And such joys are God's gift, God's calling card to all of us joy junkies, saying, promising that the best is yet to come. The difference for us Christians is not that we always get more joy or that we deserve more joy than others. We don't. But simply that we recognize God as the source of joy. We open ourselves to God and trust that joy comes looking for us in the person of Jesus. And that's the wisdom of George Matheson, the Scottish preacher who wrote that hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." And verse 3 expresses it so beautifully. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow in the rain and trust the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. That's the gospel. That's the good news this morning and world without end. Amen and amen. Blessed are all who believe that God will accomplish in us and through us and for us everything that God has promised. And when he does, as he does, we will say, like Elizabeth, "Why me?" Meaning, why am I so favored? We'll let God answer that one.
Please take the spiral songbook in your pews and turn to number 13. We're going to sing Mary's song together. My soul is filled with joy.
My soul is filled. Comforter presenters, please come and find your comforter. And we would like to invite Brandon Chupp, Wayne Goretzky, Ian Howard, I'm sorry, is sick today, Alta LaBere, Courtney Lapp, Trevor Oyer, Wyatt Roth, and Sarah Tro. Please come forward. And please turn in Sing the Journey to number 73. That will be our prayer for our students, and it does have a repeat. After you are presented, after we're done, we'd like you to put them on the benches so that people can sing. I'll pretend I'm in power. This is Ian's. Okay, please come. With our love and prayers and all the warmth of Zion, we want to share this warmth with you so that you remember that we have love and prayers going with you on whatever your journeys take you. Choosing things that, once you give us your colors, things that we think you like. So we hope that you enjoy them and that they keep you real warm. Let's sing our prayer to them.
Thank you.
the sharing of our joys and concerns, our praying together, the Lord's Prayer that the church has prayed in all languages, all places, and all times, wherever there is church, the blessing that sends you forth to continue church in your dispersed places. These are not add-ons or tags added to the message or the songs or anything like that. These, in some ways, our worship is leading to this point to send us forth also blessed, mindful of each other, prayerful, to continue church outside the walls of this wonderful sanctuary. So with that in mind, let's take a moment to acknowledge any prayers, concerns, cares, joys, or testimonies that we would have. And we'll start with you, Kathy.
I just wanted to let everybody know about baby Ellie. At 10 days old, she was in the hospital with spinal taps and all kinds of journeys of awareness, trying to find out what was wrong with her. They are home now. She is completely fine. Mark came in here and asked for your prayer on that Sunday when I couldn't be here. And I wanted so much to let you know that the baby's great, Ashley's great, Daddy's great, everybody's doing well. I have some pictures I'll share with you at the back of the church if you'd like to see. I also just want to say that we, with Ashley, I'd love to get her home. Casey's going back to Japan. And she's down in Texas with a little baby, and I'd sure like her to come home, so I'd like to pray about that. And he'll be getting out in like 3 months, not out, but he'll be getting back to the United States in San Diego in about 3 months. So I'd like to have her home for that time, get some baby squeezing in for grandma. And I want very much to ask everyone, I'm starting something coming in the future. We're not ready yet. Dad says we're not ready yet, but I want to start something. I would like to have an open invitation to my home on Sunday afternoons. It's a bring your own barbecue, but I will have like the condiments and things like that. But I'd really like to invite anyone that would like to come over. And from like, we'll do it from 6 o'clock will be the barbecue light time. But just to hang out and get, so I can get to know you a little deeper than I do here, because it's not enough. I can't get to every one of you. But I want you to know I love you and I appreciate the answered prayer that we've all gotten together. And there's one other guy right here I wanna pray for, but he will not allow me to let you pray for him today, so we're going to pray for him anyway, and he can sit here and enjoy that. And I want you all to know that this is just the most beautiful place to see you, and I want to share you every day, but I can't, and I know you can't with me because you're busy, but I love you all, and we thank you for taking us newbies under your wing and guiding us into a good living of joy and love. And this joy that Matt talks about is really the heart of my life and my blood.
Thank you. Yes, for Orville here.
Keep praying for Willie and Donnie. Willie had a couple pretty bad nights this week. And we had a wonderful day yesterday, a joyful day. We celebrated all day Phyllis's 80th birthday party yesterday. We had so many visitors that we never got around to going to the mailbox. And this morning on the way to church, we had to stop and pick up the mail.
Thank you, and congratulations. Happy birthday. Yeah. Yes, Florence.
This is Florence, and an update on my brother. The final diagnosis of what was wrong with him has turned out to be stage 4 lung cancer, which was not good news. So he will be starting treatment, and the doctors are saying 6 months to 15 months. So continue to pray for my brother, Harry.
Yes, Jenny.
This is Jenny. Many of you know I have an adult foster home, and so death is not something that is strange. Over the past week or so, I've had two of my residents enroll in hospice, and some of their symptoms are not easy to manage. And so right now I'm feeling quite a bit of tension about that because I really want to help them be comfortable. And so if we could pray for Hazel and Elsie, I would appreciate that.
For Hazel and Elsie. And we will pray for you and your ministry and service to them too. I will also encourage you to be praying for Cindy Nunez, name is mentioned in the bulletin, who will be having surgery tomorrow as well. Any other cares or concerns or joys that we want to share? Well, please join me then in prayer that will lead to the Lord's Prayer again that we'll share together. Let's pray. Spirit of delight, our eternal refuge, the everlasting arms bearing us and carrying us like a mother, even when we do not feel delight. We call upon you because you have so constantly and faithfully called upon us. Thank you for love that never gives up on any of us. Thank you, dear God, for love that leaves treasures along the path towards your home and our return. Dear God, such we pray for us, that in a dark, chaotic, and conflicted world, our joy would be full because you have overcome the world, but also that joy would be contagious, even a joy that can endure confusion, differences, fear, changes in our world. Dear Lord, let our love be such a beacon, a love that you grow in us for you and for each other. Let that be a beacon in this dark and difficult world. And we name to you the cares and concerns that we have. You ask us to pour our hearts before you, to bring our burdens to you. And on behalf of Cindy Nunez and her surgery tomorrow, grant, O God, that it would indeed be a release from the pain and the symptoms and the difficulties that she has had. Bless the doctors and the nurses working with her, O Lord. That you would be as well, dear God, with Willie and Danita to continue to bless them, sustain their health, and indeed give Willie that sleep that he so often misses at night. For Harry, as he is treated for cancer, the doctors and nurses working with him, let this be a time, dear God, of sweet discovery of your grace and love with us in every stage of life and beyond. And for Ellen and Hazel, for Elsie and Hazel, dear God, we pray that also as they go into hospice care, they would know those everlasting arms of yours carrying them and bearing them along. Be also with Jandy and others in her household who are attending to the needs of sharing the needs in these difficult times of life.
Bless and sustain them, be the everlasting arms underneath her as well. Dear God, thank you for baby Allie's health, for everything working out for her, and may she indeed have time with her mother and with her grandmother and family, dear God. And, O Lord, we take time now in quiet to bring to you any other joys, cares, or concerns that we bear in our hearts for ourselves or for other people. And Lord, for the hospitality hopes and plans that are forming in Mark and Kathy's hearts and in their home, may they indeed be prospered as you guide and bless. And indeed, O God, may your church throughout the world, in places of poverty and persecution even, in conflict and struggle, as well as in ease and luxury, be even more a home of hospitality to all who come seeking you, O Lord, throughout the earth in every tribe, tongue, and nation. So growing, we pray, until that prayer is fulfilled, the one that Jesus taught us. And we pray now, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's stand together for the benediction. May the Creator who gives birth in the heart of a servant give birth within you. May the Christ who comes to live with us walk beside you. May the Spirit who sang within Mary's heart also sing within you. Go in peace.